Me in your Bibles to John chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 18. And after we do that, if there's a kids program, the kids are free to leave. Let's read together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world through him was made. The world did not recognize him. He came to which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." The kids are now free to leave. So, before we dive in to God's word this evening, let's take a moment to pray. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the power and authority in each and every word that is written within the Bible. God, we pray that you would speak to us this evening. God, that you would challenge us, that you would equip us, and that you would encourage us through your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you a question. What comes to your mind when you think of Christmas? What does Christmas look like to you? There's probably lots of different answers within the room. For some of you, it's maybe the Christmas tree, and you cannot wait to get that tree up. You're putting up more early and early each and every year. Maybe for some of you, it's the lights. You love to drive around the town and see the Christmas lights up and feel festive at looking at them. Maybe for you, Christmas, when you think of it and what it looks like for you, is family coming around a table and having a meal together. Maybe for you, it's waking up to the sound of the kids or the grandkids trying to sneak downstairs to see what Santa has put underneath the tree. Maybe for you, it's going home to spend time with family. And for you, what Christmas looks like and what you think of is tinsel. I will love you, but we will no longer be friends. I really do not like tinsel. Maybe for you, when you think of Christmas, it's more the church type stuff. Maybe it's the carol service, the kids doing their part at the front. Maybe you think of the nativity, you think of the manger, the stars, the wise men, baby Jesus. There's probably a lot of different things come to mind whenever we think of Christmas. And there's probably a lot of different passages in the Bible that you would think of and jump to. You will probably hear a lot of those read next Sunday evening. But this one that we read in John maybe isn't one that we would go to straight away, and yet it is full of what Christmas is really all about. It doesn't have a shepherd, it doesn't have a manger, it doesn't even have a baby. And yet, it has the very reason that we celebrate Christmas. Verse 14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." There you have Christmas in four words. The Word became flesh. John isn't caught up in the details of the birth, where it was, how it happened, any of those different things. To him, it is simply about the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what it's about for him. And so this evening, we're going to look at how John starts off his gospel by looking at a couple of verses this evening. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John starts off his gospel by wanting us to grasp the magnitude of verse 14, this Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. In verses 1 to 5, he gives a description of what he calls the Word. And he says this, I'll read verse 1 again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We know that this phrase, the Word, and who John is talking about is Jesus. We know that because of verse 14, verse 17, he talks of Jesus. He says that the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth have come through Jesus Christ. But he uses this term, the Word, and he uses it three times really intentionally. The word that he uses, the phrase in the Greek, it's this term, the logos. And the idea of the logos had deep, rich meaning to both Jews and Greek in their thinking. John MacArthur said this when he was talking about the logos. He said, to the Greek mind, the logos was the most powerful force in the universe, creative power, source of wisdom, knowledge, and intelligence. In Greek philosophy, they had an idea that there was some sort of creative being. They understood that, they acknowledged it, that there's a source of everything. And when you think of that, it's almost like this kind of idea that a lot of people would have today, that maybe there is a creator, maybe there maybe is God, but he's a far-off God. There's something that has created everything and is the source of all things, but he is a far-off. We can't actually know him. And yet John here in John 1 says something completely different. He says the complete opposite. That God, the creator of all things, is not a far-off God, but he's close. That it's not a case of we can't know him, but he has made himself known. In fact, he became flesh and dwelt among us. To the Jew, right throughout the Old Testament, you would read phrases like the word of the Lord came to so on and so forth. The word of the Lord was spoke through such and such. That phrase, the word, had meaning to the Jews. It was through his word that God revealed himself. He spoke through the prophets. He revealed his word to the prophets. They spoke it to the people. It was through his word that the children of Israel, the people in the Old Testament, were able to know who God was, to know his nature and his truth. They knew their God because God spoke. If God does not speak, how can we know God? In the Old Testament, he spoke through the prophets. To us today, he speaks through his word. Every time we open the Bible, it is God speaking to us, God revealing himself to us. And so John uses this term right at the beginning of his gospel, the word. And he's pointing to the fact that that word has now become flesh. That word has been revealed to us, God incarnate. He's saying this, Jesus, who I am telling you has come, is here, and through him we can know God. John basically at the start of his gospel is saying to both the Jews and the Gentiles, saying to us that for a long time they have been talking about, thinking about, referring to this word, this logos, but now John is saying that he is here, he has come, and we can know him. He is Jesus. He says it right at the start, and then he goes on to write an entire book about who this Jesus truly is and what he had come to do and what he has done for us. You see, in Jesus, we can know the character, the nature, the wisdom, the majesty of who God is. Through Jesus, as we read about him, as we learn about him, we see God. How is that possible? How can we see God through a man? How can we see God through Jesus? Well, John explains it in verse 1 by using three statements just about who Jesus is. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He wants us straight away, right at the start of his gospel, to understand something really important about who Jesus is. John Piper said what John is doing in John 1 is telling us the most ultimate things about Jesus that he can. It took John more than 3 years to figure out the fullness of who Jesus was, But he doesn't want his readers to take more than three verses to find out what it took him a long time to know. He wants us to realize just who Jesus truly is. That he is the Word of God in flesh. That he is truly the Son of God. Truly who he says he is. That's what John's entire book is all about. You read through the Gospel of John or any of the Gospels and you read all about who Jesus is and how he truly is the Son of God. You get to chapter 20 in John, and in verse 30, towards the end of it, he says, "But these are written, everything that I have written down in my gospel. For these are written that you may believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and by believing in him and in his name, you may have life." I wonder, do you have life in his name this evening? I wonder if you truly in your heart have come to the revelation of what John wants his readers to realize, just who Jesus is, that he truly is the Son of God, and in him you find true life. In him you find what Alistair was talking about this morning, you find true joy. Isn't that why we celebrate Christmas? Isn't that what this time of year is all about? God sending his one and only true Son to give us life and to save us from our sins. And so John, right at the start, makes three statements about who Jesus is. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I want to take a couple of minutes. I want to look a wee bit at those three statements and why they're important for us to realize and understand and grasp. He first says, in the beginning was the Word. Your mind maybe jumps back to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John echoes Genesis 1 here because he wants us to realize that just like in way back at the start, when God, before everything else, brought everything into creation, so too was Jesus. Jesus was there, and in fact, through him also, all things were made. That's what he says in verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John wants us to realize that Jesus pre-existed creation, that he was there right from the very beginning, that all creation is made through him. That makes verse 14 really special because it means that he became flesh and dwelt among his creation, that he came to his creation to save his creation, to save you and me. John starts by saying, before everything else, Jesus was there. He came into human form in verse 14, but in verse 1 he talks about how he didn't come into existence. It's in the beginning was the Word, not in the beginning became the Word. Jesus was there with God right from the very start. He is before all things. In verse 15, John himself says, "He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me." John wants his followers and his readers to realize that Jesus is greater than him because he is before him. He's before all things. All things are created through him. He pre-exists creation. And so in the beginning, Jesus was there. And he was there with God. John echoes that again in verse 2. He really wants us to realize that he was in the beginning with God. John talks of the relationship that Jesus has with him and the Father, this closeness that they have. He is not a creation of God's. He is in perfect communion, closeness, fellowship with God right from the start. But he goes a step further and he says he was not just with God, he is God. John wants us to know that Jesus was in the beginning with God and that he is God. In those three statements, John refers to really simply to something that is extremely deep and yet fundamental to our faith and our belief. He's referring and explaining the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God who eternally exists as three persons. Jesus is God, but is distinct to God. And that's why he says he is with God. What's really important for us to understand in all of this, is that John is explaining that Jesus was with God, but he is also God. When I was reading through this and trying to grasp my own head around it, the Trinity is something really hard to explain, and hard to explain how Jesus truly is God. I came across something that John MacArthur said that I found helpful, and so I thought I would share it with you this evening. He said, Jesus is pre-existent, and if he is pre-existent, he is not part of creation. And if he is pre-existent, he is outside of creation, and he is before time. And if he is outside creation, and if he is before time, he is eternal. And if he is eternal, he is God. Let me read that again. Jesus is pre-existent. And if he is pre-existent, then he is not part of creation. And if he is pre-existent and he is outside of creation, then he is before time. And if he is outside of creation and if he is before time, he is eternal. And if he is eternal, he is God. John is saying that this Word who has become flesh, this one that he's on to say is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the manifestation of God, the revelation of God, God incarnate, Emmanuel with us. He's pointing to the fact that Jesus truly is the Son of God, that he is eternal, that he is God. In Jesus this evening, you see and know who God is. If you want to know more about God, if you want to know more about who God is, his nature, his character, everything about him, go into the Gospels and read about Jesus. Because in Jesus, we see God because he is God. In him, we see God's glory. In him, we see God and we hear God. Right throughout the ministry of Jesus, as you read through the book of John or any of the other Gospels, everything that Jesus did or said, his character, who he is, all confirms those things that John says at the start of his Gospel. Jesus does things throughout his ministry that only God could truly do. He raises the dead. He controls nature. He forgives sins. Jesus himself in John 10:30 said, I and the Father are one. He is fully God. In Colossians 2:9, Paul said this, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. John didn't worry about the birth, where it happened, how it happened. He didn't worry about where the baby came. He just worried about the fact that he did. Before he goes on to write a book all about the life and the ministry of Jesus, he wants you and me, he wants his readers to realize something really important about Jesus, that he truly is God. Emmanuel, God with us. God in bodily form. Why is that important for us to realize? Why did John put that right at the very start of his book instead of building up to it as he writes and goes along? Why doesn't he keep us in suspense as to who this Word is and who Jesus truly is? It's because the whole rest of his book hangs on the very fact of who Jesus is. The whole rest of this gospel hangs on the very fact that Jesus truly is God. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Why is it such an important time of the year for us as a church? Well, we know it's because God sent his Son into the world that the world through him might be saved. We know that he came as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, that he came to seek and save those that were lost, like Luke 19 tells us. Realizing that Jesus was there in the beginning with God and is God is important because Jesus could only accomplish all of those things because of who he is. Because he is God. If he is not God, he could not accomplish them. He could not accomplish our salvation. The fact that he is God, the fact that he is eternal, means that he can gift us eternal life. This Christmas, it shouldn't be about the lights, the turkey, the smells, the festivities. It shouldn't be about the presents that you give or receive. It shouldn't be those things that truly give us joy. It should be the fact that God sent his Son. He stepped down from heaven in all of his glory, that he became flesh, he dwelt among us, he taught us, he healed us, rebuked us, loved us, died for us to save us and to gift us eternal life. And he could only do it because of who he is. That's what Christmas is truly all about. That's what Christmas should be about for you and for me this year. It should truly be about the gospel of Jesus Christ. God coming in the form of man, revealing himself to us, giving his all so that we could have grace and truth, forgiveness in Christ. In him this evening, you find eternal life. You find true life, everlasting life. All of us are sinners. That's what the Bible tells us. We do things wrong. We make mistakes. We get it wrong. We do things wrong in the eyes of God. That's what the Bible calls sin. And sin, as we know, has darkened our hearts to God. But Jesus came as a light to overcome that darkness. He came as a light to be light to men, to give us life. In verse 4, John said, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus doesn't just contain life and light. It is exactly who he is. Without Jesus in our lives, we are dead and we are in darkness. We are lost. Yet when your trust and your hope is in him, we are found. He gives us life because he overcame the darkness. He conquered darkness on the cross in his death and his resurrection. And now he gives us life, not just physical life. He gave us physical life right at the beginning of creation. But on the cross, in his death and his resurrection, he gives us eternal life. Isaiah 9, which is one of those passages that is one of those go-to Christmas passages. Eleanor was looking at it last Sunday morning. And in verse 2, Isaiah says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Isaiah was talking of the very same person that John is talking about here. He's talking of Jesus. But like Jesus' ministry back then, people didn't accept who he was. I wonder if you've seen the great light this Christmas. I'm not talking about the massive Christmas tree that is out the front. I wonder if you've seen the true light, the light of the world. I wonder if he's a part of your life. I wonder if you've received Jesus. John talks in our reading about receiving and the rejecting of Jesus. In verse 10, he says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Jesus came to his own creation. He came to save his own creation. But just like right throughout his ministry, and like today, so many people don't accept who he is. They don't accept who he is, what he taught, what he did, his call to repentance, and to put our faith and trust in him. This evening, I hope that that's not the case for you. This evening, I hope that you don't fall into that category. That if you don't know him as Lord and Savior of your life this Christmas, my hope and my prayer is that you would put your trust and faith in him. That you would embrace the one who came to give you eternal life. Because he's willing to embrace you. To when you seek for it, he's willing to forgive you. And he's willing to give you the right to be called a child of God. Not because of anything that you have done or ever will do, but all because of what he has done for us. All made possible because he became flesh and dwelt among us. All because he came to save us. In him we find grace upon grace. That's what verse 16 says. "For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth come through Jesus Christ." What does your Christmas look like? What does Christmas look like for you this year? What's on your mind this Christmas? Is it the unreal Christmas dinner? And trust me, I cannot wait for Christmas dinner. Maybe it's that Christmas afternoon nap that I am definitely looking forward to this year, slightly sleep deprived at the moment. What comes to mind when you think of Christmas? Maybe it's the decorations, maybe it is going to see family, the presents that you're going to give, the presents that you're going to receive. Where our mind should be is on the present that we have received or can receive, the gift that God is offering to us, this gift of eternal life. My hope is for you this Christmas, that's where your thought lies. That's where your focus lies. Where should our mind be for us as the church, for us as Christians this Christmas? One of the things about John is that he devoted his entire ministry, his entire life, to making Jesus known. John just wanted people to know Jesus. In verse 6, it says, there was a man sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. John wanted people to know exactly who Jesus was and that he was coming into the world to save them. The next part of John 1 is all about John's testimony of Jesus, and in it he proclaims, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That was John's message. This guy Jesus is coming. He is the Son of God. He is God, and he is coming to take away the sin of the world. John wanted people to know that. He didn't care at what cost it came. He was willing to be arrested and even die so that Christ would be known. This Christmas, how much do we want Jesus to be known? How much do we want people to know Jesus? How loud are we willing to proclaim him this year at Christmas? Is he truly at the center of our Christmas? That's what Christmas is about. He's in the title, Christmas. Christ, the Son of God, coming into the world to be the light of the world and to give us life. And so as the church, as disciples of Jesus, our message needs to be that of John's. This Christmas, wherever we are, whoever we are meeting, whoever we are with, we need to proclaim, "Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world." That needs to be our message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are we willing to proclaim that this year? Let's not get caught up in the worldly Christmas traditions, as good as they are. I love the lights. I love the festivity. I cannot wait to spend the first Christmas with Charlie. I can't wait to go home and spend some time with family. There's lots that I'm looking forward to this Christmas. But if my Christmas is really all about those things, how much I can eat, can I get a bit of a nap in, the Christmas trees, all of that stuff, it is so wrong if that's what it all becomes about. It is sinful for us to make Christmas into all of those things, for those to be the main focus and thought on our mind whenever we leave church, whenever we go outside back into our homes, to our families, or back into work. It's easy to say that Christmas is not about those things. It's easy to say that Christmas truly is about Christ. But if we truly, truly believe that to be true, then this Christmas, like every other year, we need to be like John and point people to Christ. John was a voice in the desert calling, "Make way for the Lord." He was calling out and proclaiming that Jesus was coming. Our call, our commission is to point people to him, because he's coming back. He's coming again. And so that's our call, is to point people to him. And the great thing about Christmas is this: you have an automatic way to point people to him. It's not extremely hard to get a conversation about Christmas round to Christ. You have this automatic conversation starter where you can ask people what Christmas is truly all about, or what Christmas looks like or means to you, and then you get to share what Christmas is all about for you and what Christmas looks like to you. And so this Christmas, let's bear witness to one of the greatest things that has ever happened. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Let's point people to Christ this Christmas. Let's focus on the gospel. Let's pray. God, we just thank you that you did send Jesus. And that Jesus, you were willing to come into your creation to save us, to pay our price, to die our death, and to give us eternal life. At this time of year, God, where we remember you sending your Son, forgive us for the times where we focused on so many other things and made Christmas about so many other things. Help us this year to focus on what it is truly all about. In Jesus' name, amen.